This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's pain-free Friday for us. Doling out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up. 100, 200, a bad day, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad, utter bad taste, bad locks, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in New York City. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion show. Up should do, but I'm my friend Nick, coming off that's a party up. We got rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain is splattered all over Manhattan. Should do, but O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Every 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. Cavs up 7 in overtime on the Clippers with a minute 35 and rolling left. LeBron with the rock going to the hole. Anyway, I got a question, though, first. There's a lot going on tonight. NBA, NHL, college football, college basketball. Are you with us tonight from New York? So we're going to have Brian Murphy on at 20 past this very hour on the Vikings-Rams game from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Brian Murphy up first coming up here. 40 past this very hour. Dustin Long covers NASCAR for NBC Sports. He's at Homestead for the Super Bowl of Racing, basically their championship weekend. Carver High, very excited about that. I called your boy Captain Thunder about this tonight, and he passed due to life and busy and family and obligations and just not having kept up with the NASCAR season. Not ready to get in the driver's seat tonight on the bench, but I respect that. He said, I'm not ready. I'm either top shelf or I don't get in the car.
That's a good job by Captain. I mean, if he's not ready, he's not ready. I mean, he's respectfully, nice job by him.
I mean, he could have gotten in the car. That'd be like getting in with a few beers under your belt and crashing into a wall.
You see, the problem is that now you actually have to watch because you don't know who any of these people are anymore with all their stars walking out the door. Like this weekend will be the last time you see Dale Jr., Danica Patrick. All their stars are walking out the door, so you're not going to know who any of these guys are after this weekend.
I just wanted to say that I don't know who any of them are now. Nor do I want to know who any of them are. At 11 Eastern, 8 Vegas time, Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports. Is he, is it playoff time yet in that, or they still go the distance all the way till the end of the season?
Still a few weeks.
Still a few weeks? So we'll do a double shot tonight with your boy, Jamie Eisenberg. You hear him on the weekends right here on the network at 10 p.m. on Saturday night and 11 a.m. on Sunday morning with a show that's very popular. NFL Week 11 on Sunday. Has that huge game, Vikings-Rams, and then the Raiders looked upset the Pats in Mexico City. Can the Rams go into Minnesota and beat the Vikings? We'll talk about that tonight. Jameis Winston accused of allegedly groping a Uber driver in Arizona last year. Winston's camp denies the allegations. Of course they do. I got to ask you this question. Carver High, based on his track record of behavior,
which has actually been pretty good since he got in the NFL.
But in college.
College it was not.
He's been accused of rape and everything else. So who do you believe?
Look.
When you hear a chick say she was groped by Jameis Winston, do you believe her?
I mean, I always say this when these stories come up. We weren't in the car. But, I mean, if she says it happened, you know, you got to look into it.
Mafia, do you believe with his track record, his denying it, his camp denying it. Do you believe any of that?
If it was a couple of years ago, I would have flat out said, there's no way you can't not believe her, given, you know, pretty much what they're describing was done is exactly what he screamed in the middle of that cafeteria at Florida State that he got in trouble for. So it wouldn't be surprising, but he has been a model citizen since. So I'll give him a little bit
of
doubt.
So this was actually when he was the quarterback of the Buccaneers last year as a pro. She's saying he did this. Not
correct.
Good for him right now, Jameis Winston. Do you believe it? We'd love to hear from you. In what is a light college football schedule with most powerhouses playing cupcake pansies this weekend, getting ready for rivalry games next week, Wisconsin will look to stay undefeated at home against Michigan. That's a real game. Will the Badgers win what many consider their toughest game so far this season? Now, there are real football games tomorrow. Don't be fooled. We're going to talk about all of them tonight on the bench. Reports say Adam Silver is determined to eliminate the one-and-done rule for a system where players could enter the NBA immediately out of high school, or they must stay a minimum of 2 years in college. Somebody asked me the other day what I think they should do, and I said, my boy Kenny, who's been working on my house, he said, what do you think they should do with these kids? I said, either go right from high school or make them play 2 years of college. Because usually the one-and-dones aren't ready for the NBA for the most part. I think a couple of them are. I think a majority of them aren't. So give them 2 years of play in college, seasoning, and then let them go pro. If you're good enough to go pro as a high school kid, like, you know, a la LeBron James, et cetera, then you got to let them go pro. If the kid's good enough, Ben Simmons should have never gone to LSU, if you ask me. Right? I mean, what a waste of time that was. So there you go. Would it be better for the NBA and college basketball? I think so. I love that rule. Danica Patrick announced she's retiring from full-time NASCAR racing. She will run in the Daytona Indy 5 next year. NASCAR's championship race will also be held Sunday in Miami, as I mentioned, and we'll talk to Dustin Long about that. I got to say this. She never mattered except promotionally, PR-wise, as the popularity that she gained and her fame. She brought a lot to NASCAR, and there's no denying that. She never won, but she ran with the boys on Sundays, and you got to respect her for that. She was not afraid to get into the wheel and drive against these crazy dudes on these crazy tracks, three wide, whatever, and just risk her life. You have to respect that, no matter what. I never thought she was any good. I just thought she had massive cojones to race with the boys. And seriously, she went right at it. She never won, but she went right at it. And at the same time, I don't really see any reason for her to race in the Daytona 5 or Indy 5 next year. I mean, if you're going to retire, retire. I mean, you just don't. What are you, coming back for fun, for two races? I don't get that at all. Dale's walking away as well. Now, that is a huge story. Trust me, you. Everson Griffin, questionable. We'll talk about that. Expected to play against the Rams. We're going to talk about everything concerning Payne Day. Every game, we'll line them up this weekend's activity on the Payne Day slate. What game do you want to talk about? Carver High wants to talk about the Bills and Peterman. And then Mafia, is your team got a bye or something?
Yeah, Jets are on the bye.
Mafia taking Sunday off to drink Jefferson's bourbon all day. A real estate investor buys Aaron Hernandez's house for $1 million. Khalil Mack says he wants to retire a Raider. Don't we all want to stay with the same outfit for your entire career? It's a nice way of saying you don't want to get fired from your job. Vontaze Burfict claims the NFL refs are out to get him. Paranoid much? Jerry Jones apologizes for racially insensitive remarks caught on video 4 years ago. What did he say, Carver High?
He was congratulating somebody on a girl on a wedding or something. And
some
you know, he's with a black girl tonight, don't you?
Some white guy that asked him to record a message for his fiance, and he said that on the message.
I wonder who leaked that out.
Phillip Rivers cleared to play against the Bills. We'll see how that goes. There's a lot happening. We got the odds to make the college football playoff for you tonight. And more on the NBA's one and done, what you think of that. The rest of the NBA, 32-105 when shooting less than 43%, but the Celtics do that, and they're 8-2. Is it really true that the Lakers might trade Julius Randle? We got NBA power rankings ranking the baseball teams from most likely, basically the least likely, to employ Giancarlo Stanton, the MVP. John Hart leaves the Braves organization. Notorious, his coach says he won't fight until April. Could the Penguins afford to keep Hornquist, or will they let him go? And then, oh, heavens to Betsy, look at this Snapchat we've got going tonight. That might get me in trouble here. Did you see that, Carver High? Let's see Mafia's reaction to this.
Good one tonight.
Very, very nice.
Very impressive. All right, so don't forget, Saturday, just so you know, there's a bevy of decent games. Navy, Notre Dame, Michigan, Wisconsin, Virginia, Miami. Will the Canes have a letdown? You got UCLA, USC, and Cal, Stanford. Sunday, Pats, Oakland, Mexico City, high altitude. Washington at New Orleans, Buffalo at the Bolts. Sunday night, Philly, Dallas. That's basically the game of the week. Atlanta, Seattle, Monday night. Get every pick, every game, every sport, every day. $35 a month. It's a joke for what I get you back. Like in stacks, in spades. All I do is stack it up for you. Everybody knows it. College hoops, every game, every day. NBA, every game, every day. NHL, every game, every day. All the fights, boxing, and MMA, daily fantasy rosters. Your boy Carver High said tonight, Bobrovsky with a big point night for us on the NHL fantasy roster. We're trying to make people some stacks there as well, and we do it. It's awesome. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, let's talk to our buddy Brian Murphy with the St. Paul Pioneer Press about this Vikings-Rams matchup. How you doing, Brian? Happy Thanksgiving to you. A little early here.
Yeah, a little early because the Vikes are playing Thanksgiving, so you're looking way too ahead.
I am, but I'm off next week, so I'm never going to talk to you during that stretch, so I'm getting it in early.
Perfect.
There
Perfect.
You go. So will you stuff your face on Thanksgiving, or will you be working and busy and have to eat cold turkey after the game?
Well, it's funny because the game's in Detroit, and that's where I'm from, and that's where all my family is. So after covering this game for the second year in a row on Thanksgiving, I didn't expect that. I'm going to be going to my aunt, cousin's place in suburban Detroit. So it should be – I will be stuffing my face, but I'll at least be doing it at home.
And you know your way around Detroit still. You haven't forgot all the streets and everything.
Correct. I know where to duck. I know where to avoid. I know where to go.
So let's talk about this game. Now, everyone is saying, and you know this, that it's just, I mean, the Vikings defense is going to win this game for them and that they're going to shut down the Rams. And I got to tell you, I think that there's a possibility of that happening, obviously. I think they are very tough. And at home, I think particularly even tougher, they'll get, you know, some calls and the like. And I think things will probably go their way for most of the day. But I don't think that game's going to be easy at all for them.
No, I don't think anybody's thinking that. I mean, I think they're about 2.5-point favorites. But, I mean, they're, you know, look at L.A. is hugely dynamic. And the Vikings haven't, you know, necessarily faced a team that's been that high-powered. I mean, they face some top quarterbacks. But, you know, Joe Flacco's having a bad year. Winston's hurt. Rodgers, they rolled out of the game in the first quarter about 3 weeks ago. So to take on Jared Goff and what that offense has been able to do, they're going to have to get after him. They have to take advantage of the home crowd. And I think this is one of Mike Zimmer's important games. He's in a position where he's 7-2, but they're facing three straight road games after this. You know, there's a lot of playoff implications in terms of seedings, maybe a bye. There's a lot at stake, and he's got to have him focused. So I think it's going to be – I'm looking forward to an entertaining game, but by no means does anybody think it's going to be easy for the Vikings.
You wrote about, obviously, Case Keenum looking over his shoulder at Teddy Bridgewater working and practicing and getting better by the day. I think Case Keenum's done a hell of a job for them and made very few mistakes. You basically said it's still his gig until his play dooms him. I certainly hope they're not waiting for that to happen. I mean, I think the kid's played well.
Yeah, I mean, he's 5-2 as a starter, and he's been a part of 6 wins. So, you know, and hey, don't overlook the fact that he's going up against a team that benched him exactly a year ago when he was 4-5 and said, you know, we're going to go with the guy that we've invested our money in, and it's a lost season. And, you know, Jeff Fisher ends up getting fired. I think Goff lost 7 straight to close the season, but then they bring in Sean McVay, I mean, 30-year-old wonder kid, and look what they're doing, you know, dynamically, you know, on offense. And with Goff, it's just it's you know, the Vikings are going to just, they're going to have to get after them.
So how is Bridgewater, and like, tell me about that whole evolution of his injury to where he is now.
Well, I mean, we're not allowed to watch anything. You know, we watch him stretch and warm up. I mean, they kind of, you know, block the media. But from every account and from what everybody said, you know, he looks fine. He looks like he's mobile, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you got to get out there in a game against, you know, 300-pound defensive linemen and, you know, gain speed. And he hasn't done that since that, in a real meaningful game, since the wild card playoff loss to Seattle in January of 16. So to expect him to go out there and lead a team that's on a playoff run right now, I mean, that's a pretty high bar. And as you said, you know, Keenum's been managing it well. You know, he may not last until week 17, but as long as things are going fine, I mean, I think it's a prudent choice.
Brian Murphy of the Pioneer Press with us on the bench. Tell me about where Everson Griffin is, the great sack guy for the Vikings. He's going to go, but how is he?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of leverage he gets pushing off. That was his problem last week warming up in Washington. I mean, it was expected he was going to play, but he just couldn't get any push off of that. So they just said, you know what, we're going to take a break. I don't want this to be lingering. We'll do one more week. It seemed to be working out. I mean, he was limited a bit, but he's been declaring all week he's going to play. Zimmer expects him to play, although he said that last week too. He's listed as questionable, but I would expect him to play. They're going to lose Sendeo in the secondary. Anthony Harris is likely to take his spot. That means Harrison Smith, who's been playing really well, is going to have to keep stepping up to protect that backside, because it's going to be interesting how the defense schemes to try to go after Goff.
What about up front? That right tackle's out as well.
Yeah, Mike Remmers had he's been out 3 weeks. He apparently had a setback in the concussion protocol, so this could be, you know, a long way to go. But Rashad Hill has stepped in. He did pretty well in Washington. Kept, Case Keenum was pretty clean. I don't think he was sacked once in Washington. So they've had a couple of nicks and bruises here and there, but they've been able to maintain a pretty good solid front on the offensive line, which is something they desperately needed last year and didn't get.
So tell me about Shurmur, and like, is it Shurmur calling all the plays? How does that play out?
Yeah, Pat Shurmur's the guy. I mean, he stepped in and he's getting a lot of credit, and there's some whispers that he could be another head coaching candidate. I mean, he was already that in Cleveland. It was kind of a disastrous situation there, as it usually was. But then, you know, he's also part of a Philadelphia team that made it to a Super Bowl. So he's got some pedigree to him, and he's been able to work with Keenum the way he was able to work. You know, he got a great game out of Bradford, and then Keenum has to step in, and he's been able to meld all the parts together, and it's been a really diverse attack, and people are, you know, everybody's getting the ball. It's spread around. The running game has kind of, you know, at least got something going compared to what they had last year without Adrian Peterson.
So Murph's back. What is Brian Murphy of the St. Paul Pioneer Press? Of all the teams, I mean, you guys are going to the playoffs. I think the Vikings are a really good team, but these teams in the NFC have been fantastic. The Eagles, the Saints have been on quite a roll. The team you're playing, the Seahawks are still a factor. The Panthers are, you know, like a wild card looking football team, and the Lions are kind of on the outside looking in right now. But what do you think of your conference? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is pretty wide open, but you know, the Vikings control so much of their own. You know, right now I think they have the tiebreaker with the Rams. The Saints and the Vikings do both, and then the Vikings had the tiebreaker on New Orleans because they beat them in Week One. So if the Vikings win and go 8-2, they're going to have tiebreakers on the Rams and the Saints. So they're going to be positioned well to not only win the division, but perhaps get a first round bye. And there's a lot at stake. And then when they go, they got a short week. They got to go to Detroit on Thanksgiving. And then they got road games consecutively at Atlanta and Carolina. They are in the meat grinder. So they need this game, and I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's going to probably define their season, the next four games, because they're going to be on the road for three of them.
People will freak there if they make the Super Bowl in their own stadium. I don't think it's ever happened, has it?
It's never happened. I know the Rams played at the Rose Bowl in 79 or 80 against the Steelers, so they were technically a home team in Southern California.
And
but
they
it wasn't
lost.
Their home stadium. And they lost and they got rolled. So, but look, the Vikings haven't been to a Super Bowl in 40 years. So just getting to one it would be an insane storyline, because they've had some horrific losses in NFC championship games over the past 30 years, especially in the last 15, that we could go on and on about their Greek tragedies, basically. But, I mean, if they could get there and they're there in their own stadium, that would be a pretty intense story, but there's a long way to go in the NFC.
The Atlanta one was the worst, and then the second worst would be what, the Blair Witch Project missed field goal?
Well, that wasn't an NFC championship
game. No, but
a wild card game, but the game in New Orleans where Favre threw the interception as they were driving for the potentially, you know, daggered or the winning field goal in the fourth quarter, and that didn't happen, and then they lost in overtime, and then, of course, they changed the rules in overtime to allow both teams to get a chance at the ball, so that even irked Vikings fans more, thinking they're cursed. So it's a raw fan base here, but I think they feel like they got something going.
And the Giants racked them too, right, in one of them?
Oh, 41 Donut is what they call it. It's got a moniker to it, yes. Yeah, they were rolled early and often and out of the Meadowlands.
At least I hope it was a crueler.
they were rolled.
All right, listen, should be a great game. Vikings-Rams on Sunday at U.S. Bank. Brian, have a great time seeing your family back in Detroit next week, and enjoy the game this weekend.
All right, thanks for having me on, Scott.
All right, Brian Murphy of the great St. Paul Pioneer Press getting ready for the Rams-Vikings this weekend.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
It's time to ask the pros. You got to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Check out the link cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweet us at cbssportsradio with the hashtag #AskThePros. Listen, in the last hour, if I pick yours, we'll overnight you to your home. Tomorrow you'll get it. A case of absolutely nothing.
You get nothing.
Trust the pro parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They'll choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like BrakeBest and Wagner ThermoQuiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4227. Let's go down to Homestead, south of Miami. You're going to fall into the Everglades down there. I've been to this race a few times. It's an awesome event. NASCAR's championship will be determined on Sunday. Dustin Longs with NBC Sports. He's covering the entire thing for us on CBS Sports Radio. How's it going, Dustin?
Hey, doing well, Scott. Standing here in Victory Lane here at Homestead Miami Speedway where they have the Camping World Truck Series race this evening. Then we've got the Xfinity Series wrapping up tomorrow afternoon on NBCSN. As you mentioned, the Cup season ends Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern time on NBC with the final race of the season.
You know, this race has always been crazy. I think 13 of the last 14 times they had it, they had at least seven cautions. The last three races there had a final green flag stretch of seven laps or less. They've had overtime finishes at least three times. And then the driver that led the most down there has basically failed to win the last six times at Miami. It's always crazy, that race.
Yeah, it is. It's always a crazy race. And we certainly saw it in this race last year when, you know, it looked like Carl Edwards was on the way to winning the championship and, you know, and win the race and win the championship. And he was leading in the final laps, and there was a caution. It went to a restart, and Joey Logano tried to pass him low. Carl went down to block to make contact, and Carl crashed. Joey Logano had damage, and all of a sudden, you know, what ended up happening was Jimmy Johnson, who of the four title contenders last year had probably the slowest car of those four, and he ends up winning his record-tying seventh championship. So you never know what's going to happen at this track and at this race, especially in the final lap, because so much can change so quickly. And I think that's, I think there's a lot of different storylines for Sunday's race. And, I think one of them is just what's going to happen in those final laps. How much will things change?
Dustin Long with us from NBC Sports down at Homestead. Let's talk a little bit about Dale Jr. for a second, walking away from the sport, but not really. I mean, he's still going to be heavily involved, but it's going to be strange, for fans. There isn't a guy alive, I think, that doesn't love Dale Earnhardt Jr. And I think that, honestly, he's the most beloved driver even amongst his peers. Even when he's, like, not having a great year in the past, he's still been the most popular driver. I've never seen anything like it. How tough is it to see him walk away from this at his age. For me, I think it's just stunning, like, that it's over. I can't believe he's done racing. Some of these guys drive till they're like 80.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess the way to compare it is you know, think about when LeBron James, when he retires, what it'll be like for all the LeBron James fans, or, you know, for somebody like a fan, you know, going back a little further, going back to when Michael Jordan, I guess I should say retired the second time. But, you know, when he left the game and just what kind of an impact that was on fans, because, you know, you follow these guys in whatever sport, you know, obviously NASCAR, you know, following Dale Earnhardt Jr. throughout his whole career, or you follow athletes in other sports, and you know, if they've been in it for a long time, you certainly get attached to them, and you know, they almost become like part of the family, I guess, in a way. And so to not see them compete again is always a tough thing, no matter whether it's not seeing Dale Earnhardt Jr. run another cup race after Sunday's race, or it's, you know, not seeing Michael Jordan play basketball again, or you know, Wayne Gretzky play hockey or something like that.
So tell everybody what he's going to do now.
Well, he's going to do. He's going to be on NBC. He's going to be on our broadcast as we do the last 20 races of the season. So he'll do he'll do those 20 races. So you'll see him on TV every week to the last 20 races of the Cup season next year. But he's also still a car owner in the Xfinity Series with Junior Motorsports. So he'll still be at the track for that. And obviously with tomorrow's Xfinity race, three of the four drivers eligible for the championship tomorrow are Junior Motorsports drivers. So Dale Jr. could be celebrating a championship tomorrow just as a car owner.
So Dustin Long with us down at Homestead on CBS Sports Radio. So tell me why, because you got Keselowski, Truex, the Jersey guy, Kyle Busch, and Kevin Harvick running. But how about I mean, Kyle Busch flat out hates Brad Keselowski, and I actually think that's great for the sport that some of these guys can't stand each other.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think some people said that, you know, with everybody, you know, all these drivers have motorhomes. They all live in the same area. They have a spot for all the drivers to stay at the track, so they don't have to stay at hotels in a lot of places. That's, you know, some people say that living in that motorhome, you know, 3-4 days a week at the track is kind of brought these drivers closer together, and maybe that's not a good thing. You know, there isn't anything wrong with having a rivalry, and certainly I think some people say that that NASCAR could use a good rivalry like it had in the 70s and 80s with some of the guys from back in that era. But you're right. You know, on the press conference on Thursday at South Beach, you know, Keselowski and Kyle Busch were both asked about the animosity toward each other, and you know, Brad was very diplomatic about it. When it came Kyle's turn, he's like, hey, sometimes you just don't like a guy, and he just doesn't like them. And they've had their run-ins. I mean, this goes back to, like, you know, 2010 or so, where they've had run-ins at tracks and battling for position, battling for leads, battling for wins and things like that. There is a long history there. And, you know, I don't see it rectifying anytime soon. And, yeah, if those two guys are racing for the win, for the championship and the final laps Sunday, who knows what's going to happen? And I think that's part of the excitement of the drama. You know, I think back to the 80s is like, you know, the Lakers and the Celtics. They didn't like each other, and that made those games great, where even if you weren't necessarily a fan of the Celtics or a fan of the Lakers, when those teams got together, you wanted to see what happened because you wanted to see what they were going to do to each other. It's just like that with Keselowski and Kyle Busch. If they get together, you know, you want to see what happens. You pay a little bit closer attention to the TV. You stay focused on it because you just don't know. I mean, obviously they're professionals. You wouldn't think that they're just going to out and out wreck each other. But you know, when you're battling for a win, you're not going to give the other guy an inch. And when that happens, there's contact, and you know, a lot of times somebody spins out and somebody's feelings get hurt, and then it just kind of carries on from there. So it's a great thing for the sport. I think a lot of people would like to see even more of those rivalries, but you've got to have a true rivalry, just like that Celtics Lakers in the 80s. I mean, those teams won. They had success. You've got to have a couple guys that win a lot of races. And when you're racing against 39, 40 other competitors, that's tough to kind of have a couple different people dominate like that. But if you can have that, boy, it just adds a lot of spice to even more. It makes it even more exciting for the race.
Dustin Long down at Homestead covering the final weekend for NASCAR their championship. I got to tell you that I think, you know, Kyle's a great driver, but I think more people actually at the end of the day hate his guts than what he thinks of Keselowski. I mean, I've, honestly, there's a line going around the track of people that can't stand him. But you know what's funny? They may not like him, but that guy can flat out drive.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And he doesn't care if you don't like him. You want to boo him, then he encourages you to boo a little louder. And, you know, I think it's one of a lot of these drivers have kind of unique celebrations after the race. And I think, you know, when he gets out of the car and does a bow to the crowd, I think it's just a great thing. And it's funny because you'll hear some fans cheer, but you will hear a lot of booing, and he'll play up to it, and he just loves it. And, you know, it was not an easy thing for him to accept early in his career, but he's learned to accept it, and he knows his place. And look, as long as he's winning and you want to boo him all you want, go ahead, because he's in victory lane and you're not, and better yet, he's in victory lane and your favorite driver isn't. So boo all you want, he just doesn't care. And that's, you know, that's one of the great things about sports. Is we always want to be able to root for somebody, and a lot of times it's fun to root against somebody. And, you know, Kyle Busch, for a lot of fans, is that driver. You know, even though he does have some fans, but as you're right, you know, a lot of times a lot more boos and cheers in the crowds for Kyle Busch.
I think Martin and Martin Truex and Harvick have had the best seasons.
Well, Martin Truex Jr. certainly has had the best season. 7 wins this year and 6 victories on mile-and-a-half tracks, and that's the size of Homestead Miami Speedway here, a mile-and-a-half track. So a lot of people look at Martin Truex Jr. as the favorite, you know, at least going into this weekend, you know, for as fast as he's been, as the success he's had all season. Kevin Harvick, as you said, has become more of a favorite here in the last few weeks. That team has really picked it up. I think about it, I guess, as, you know, a team like in baseball maybe gets in on the wild card or maybe wins a weaker division, but then all of a sudden they just kind of pick things up and all of a sudden hit their stride and get that momentum in the playoffs and carry it on through to the World Series. I kind of liken Kevin Harvick to that. They had a good season during the regular season, and put in the playoffs, they've really kind of stepped up, especially the last 4 or 5 weeks, really a lot stronger. That, you know, he's a guy that I look at as being my pick to win the championship because of how strong they've been. Now, he didn't have a very good qualifying effort compared to the other guys. He'll start 9th. I mean, it's still not bad, but he's behind the other 4 title contenders. So, based on qualifying, he's got a little work to do, but they've got a couple practice sessions tomorrow. And then, obviously, the race on Sunday to work through those things. And qualifying's one thing, and race setup's a completely different thing. So, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I would certainly not overlook Kevin Harvick this weekend.
I was just down there last week. I love that race. I was in Miami. I have a place there. But I wish I was there this weekend. I've been to the race before many times. I think it's a great event.
Oh, it is. It's a fantastic event. But and there's just so much going on. If you think about, you know, for Sunday's race, and we've already talked about, you've got the 4 drivers racing for the championship. So in one sense, that would already be a big enough story. But now you've got Dale Earnhardt Jr. in his last Cup start, the final go around for Dale Jr. And then today with the news that Danica Patrick saying that this is her last season as a full-time driver. So her plans are only to run the Daytona 500 next year and the Indianapolis 500. So this is her next to last NASCAR race.
Right.
And you've got Matt Kenseth, a former champion who doesn't have a ride for next year, and said a couple of weeks ago on my colleague Nate Ryan's NASCAR on NBC podcast that you know, he was not expecting to race. It wasn't, you know, basically wasn't using the retirement word, but said basically he didn't have anything lined up and wasn't going to be racing next year unless something changed. So you're looking at, you know, the series in a sense saying goodbye to Dale Earnhardt Jr. on Sunday, potentially Matt Kenseth for good, and, you know, kind of a goodbye to Danica Patrick with only one more race left in her NASCAR career. And, oh, by the way, there's a championship battle to go on. So there's an incredible amount of things that really kind of enrich this race this weekend, and it'll make it fun to watch on NBC on Sunday.
Lots of emotion. It's going to be a crazy Sunday. I'll be watching. Hey, Dustin, great job, buddy. Enjoy the race. Have a good time in Miami this weekend.
hey, if I'd known you had a place, man, I would have called you up and said, hey, how about renting from you instead of a motel, man?
How about that? I could have made some.
You got the party pass.
I could have made some money, Carver High. Unbelievable.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.